I wanna make love. I wanna make love to you tonight.
Did you hear those?
Hello, I'm Mr. Flat Boy. We're the flats.
Everything we sing is in flat.
Yeah.
Did you hear the kid? There's a video of a kid who he's in class, or he's like reading something out loud in class, and he goes, my mom makes love better than any other mom.
No.
And it's the best.
What is that?
It's
how
like
old
him
is
saying
he?
Like he's like
eight.
Five or okay. something. Yeah.
I'm being recorded on visually. That's not allowed. This is a podcast.
This is a podcast.
Only the, you're only allowed
also,
to
it's also my vlog.
Oh, everybody, welcome to Star's Vlog, everybody.
Welcome back to We Stayed Late as well.
Yeah. Oh, look at that. It's a dual crossover episode. Star's Vlog podcast. If you want to know more about that, you better watch Star's Vlog.
I'm so tired right now, you guys. It's like I'm just in a daze.
You've been working too hard, Star.
You were out till 4.
Yeah.
What were you doing till 4?
So much energy just
I am so defeated.
I was an extra on Cracks After Hours, as I usually do every few months. And I always forget that it goes till 4 in the morning. Somehow in my brain, I've made it like it ends at midnight, 1 o'clock, which is fine. I could function on that. But it's summer, so yeah. They have to start shooting later because it has to be sunset, which is around 8 instead of, you know, like 6.
Oh, yes, the sunset.
And so because of that, you know, they have to shoot later, so it extends those extra couple hours, and yeah.
Well, everyone better watch this Cracked.
Yeah, what? You should.
Better go do crack.
Better go do crack.
Now twice a
go
month.
Go and get crack.
After hours, and I have to go back tonight. That's why.
Oh, my God.
I'm only going to be here also a short while. Luis is probably
I wasn't even gone. Supposed to be here today.
Yeah.
Luis is going to be gone.
I was going to be gone.
Luis is going to leave, like, soon, and then I'm going to leave. Ish soon, yeah. And then Spencer's gonna be here.
I'm gonna be here all alone, just talking to little
just
friends.
You alone.
No, we have kind of a weird episode this time. Not weird, just like it's gonna be a little different than our normal episodes. Because we're all gonna start out here, and then Luis is gonna disappear.
Bye bye.
And then, well, not yet.
Oh yeah, not yet.
and then, yeah, we're gonna have some musical guests join us, and they're gonna talk about making
yeah, Coldplay's coming in.
It's almost like. This is like a talk show format where it's just like, okay, there's a host. Spencer's clearly hosting it this time.
Yeah.
And then there's
welcome
like
back.
First guest and then second guest and then like the band at the end.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, oh, okay.
And you're going to bring out the album and put it on the table. You know what I mean? And say, all right, Coldplay's next album, Baby Boom.
We don't have, for anybody wondering, we do not have Coldplay.
Oh.
That's not, we One didn't day. Tell Luis who was coming. So he just guessed Coldplay.
Well, shit. I thought we made it to the big leagues now.
The title's just going to be Coldplay. Yeah.
If Coldplay ever comes here, we have to invite JD back.
Why? Is he a big Coldplay
He's
fan?
He's a huge Coldplay
oh,
fan.
Oh, that makes so much sense.
That makes so much sense.
Oh, by the way, I think he said like a couple months ago, he said hi to you guys and I forgot to pass along the words. Oh. So hi.
If anybody doesn't know who JD is, He's a nice man.
He's a nice little boy.
JD was our social media manager at SourceFed for a while, and he was a baby. He was a long time. He was a baby for the like in the office for a whole year, and we weren't allowed to have alcohol in the office because of him.
And what about Ian?
Yeah, and then they hired Ian, and everyone got real mad because Ian was 19 when he was hired, and everyone
shocked.
Was like, "God damn it!" And then after that, they were like. The San Francisco office has beer and they have underage people in their office. Why not? And so like then they finally changed the rule. But for a whole year we didn't have beer in the office because of JD. So we all blamed him for it.
Well, I think it's funny because that office, JD and Ian, was like a little baby office.
Yeah.
All the little babies.
Because they were like they were
so young.
They were so brilliant.
It's like a nursery
so
back there.
Ava would just go in there and just take care of him.
That's true.
Just rock him to sleep.
Ava had this, her favorite chair. It was in the nursery room,
That's
which
right.
is where Ian and JD lived.
That chair
has some history.
That chair was the Anime 101.
Yeah.
It was the Anime 101 chair that Will and Raina were on.
Raina.
And then after all three of us cleaned up the studio, we learned that there was a cemetery of roaches underneath that.
Oh, my God. Have we talked about the roach? infestation on this podcast?
No, I think we haven't, just because we don't want to remember.
Can we talk about it?
I don't. They came out of like the paint room in my office. I feel like that was the starting point.
They tried to bomb that place, like bug bomb that place, multiple times, and
they would not.
They were like, "You need to leave." Danny would come up and like, "You need to leave at 6 and get out of here." And yeah. I wasn't done with an edit, and somebody else wasn't done with an edit.
We have to stay late. Yeah.
So we're staying late, and the guy comes in and starts bombing the place, and I'm still in there editing. And the guy's just spraying away. He's got a mask on.
She gave you a warning. She's like, you need to be out.
I know, but they were like, you got to put this video up. What am I going to do?
Yeah, it was
a good thing I'm alive.
I remember them coming in and just spraying the office and us being like, yeah, we're probably going to die.
Yeah.
Because they were spraying like bug, whatever that stuff is.
They would spray once a month, and then maybe for like a week we wouldn't see any. Or they would be like struggling.
Yeah.
Or they like when they started popping out, like we were poisoned, and they would like come out because they were always like on a death crawl. They never came out like spry and alive. They were just like ugh, and like just coming out of the walls, and then they would find a dark corner to die. And then months later, you'd move a chair and find 10 roaches underneath it.
I think I told this story when we went out to dinner with Danny, but I'm gonna tell it again because I don't think Luis was there. The first. During my interview,
yes.
did I tell you the story about my interview?
No, tell me.
Okay, so the first time
you told it,
yeah,
I
told it at the when we were talking with Danny because we were talking about the roaches.
Mm.
When I came in for my interview, for my first interview, because you do two of them, at SourceFed. So did two of them at SourceFed. The first one was just to talk. The second one was actually to do like a test. So I came in for the first one, and basically like you walk in the front door, and there's Erin was there to greet me.
Yes.
And she's very nice, and she was like, "Oh, just wait on the couch, and somebody will come. Ricky will come get you, or whatever." And so I sat on the couch, and Erin disappeared. She went. I don't know where she went, mm-hmm. but there was nobody there. And then. All of a sudden, just to preface, there was like the front desk, and then there was a door that was connected to the front desk. It was like a little like what is that
it's
considered?
Like a little waiting room thing.
Yeah, like a little waiting room.
It's yeah.
It was just like a little door that would open up. Like it was half. It was probably to like your waist.
Yeah.
And you'd walk through that, or it would usually be open, but it was closed for some reason. Probably because I was coming for an interview.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was closed, and then out of the bottom of that door, I just saw a little creepy crawly, and then I realized it was a cockroach.
Ugh.
And then it crawled out onto the tile towards me, and I'm sitting there like waiting for my interview. Like, what do I do?
We're ready for you, Spencer.
I was waiting for it to come
this
and talk
is the first
to me.
Test.
Yeah,
and then it crawled. So it's crawling towards me, and I'm staring at it, and then it proceeds to stop, roll over, and die.
No.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
They did that all the time, though. That was their MO. They would come out of the walls, and then...
That was their MO? They would come out and die?
Yeah, here's the thing. You guys were lucky in the editor room, because you guys were kind of blocked off.
Yeah.
Like, for whatever reason, they just didn't really go into that area. My room, that paint room, there was a hole in the roof.
Oh, no.
And they would drop out of that hole. If you went into that paint, like, I think there was a count on the board, the PAs, because they would vacuum it.
There were 200 and something.
When they did, like, a proper cleanup of that, like, they organized the paint room, there was 200 and something dead roaches in there.
That's too many.
Yeah. And then,
that's
like,
one too many.
That's one too many.
Out of the ones that you'd see, like, just around, just in the office. But all of them, it seemed like it stemmed out of that paint room. And then, like, there was another on the way to the white wall room.
Yes.
You know where Sam shot his tiny place?
Yes.
Wait, where was that?
It was...
I wasn't there when he was doing that.
So that hallway to the white wall room, you know how like there was like cabinets and stuff, and there was like kind of like a little bit of a desk?
Oh, yeah, yeah, huh?
Underneath that, that's where he would shoot, because it's a little tiny space.
It's a tiny little place.
Little tiny cubby.
Got it.
In his tiny place, there was a hole that was covered in tape one day, and then he was there,
and he's like,
I wonder... And because it was like weird, and he pulled it back, and there were on the tape were live
ones
that were just stuck, just like, help me.
Coming out of the wall.
Yeah, like that was another area where they were like, oh, we could come out of here. Let's do that. And so, yeah. So that was a nightmare because they
persistent
were still
animals.
Alive.
I remember Ian was telling me that he had one fall on his head.
Yeah, Ian had one fall on his head. Kenny had one climb up his leg.
No.
Hell
Raina,
no. I'm not doing that at
Raina
all. Raina
had one also fall on her hair, and Will did not kill it because I was sitting at the front desk when that happened. I drew a comic about that. I put that up on my Tumblr because that was like within like my first couple weeks of working there, and I was at front desk still. So I was just talking to Raina, and then she just, and he like pointed at her like,
He didn't say anything?
No, he was just like, and then I was like, I screamed, and she, then she screamed because she realized it was a roach.
We all screamed for ice cream.
And she freaked out, and then I stepped on it. It did not die when I stepped on it. I stepped on it twice.
Yeah, they're fucking resilient
and,
as hell.
And then Raina hit Will because he didn't say
Yeah. Oh my God.
And it was awful, yeah.
We used to call the cockroaches Jeremy.
And then we had a Jeremy, and then we couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah, it felt weird.
Because you were calling cockroaches our boss.
Yeah,
is that why? Yeah, that would be a little weird.
To stop calling them Jeremy's.
It was kind of a living nightmare.
Notice my allergies just stopped once we came to this new office.
Yep.
New office within 2 weeks. I used to have to take two allergy pills a day, and because they SourceFed provided allergy and Advil and all that stuff. Thank God, because I was like, allergy pills are expensive, by the way. Like, I would take two of those every day because as soon as I entered the office, my eyes would water and I would sneeze. And I was like, I guess I'm somebody with allergies now. Since working here.
No allergies.
No. I think this morning was the first time I took an allergy pill because my eye was itchy. And I was like, let me just do it for now.
Could have been sleepy eyes.
Yeah. I'm sure it's just I'm tired and it's just please sleep. And this one eye would just be watery. But anyway, yeah, since working here. No allergies.
Well,
I'm
great.
Fine. It was all the dead
We're gonna change
in
that.
There.
We're going to bring some dead roaches in here. Bring it to Star's P.O. box.
So gross.
Oh, please don't.
Don't do that.
Don't.
Please don't.
Don't do that. I will be and very upset and sad.
And then Septic decided he was gonna befriend the cockroaches.
Oh, yeah. He'd put them in cups and, things
carry
and make
them
people
around.
Open them.
And then somebody finally told him that, hey, you could get
sick.
Sick from those. And then he immediately stopped, kind of. He acted like he stopped.
Yeah.
I don't know if he actually
we don't know
did.
If
Maybe
he did.
Just in private.
We took him
he
home
had.
In his car.
Everybody had a different tactic with the roaches. I would scream and yell at Kenny. I had to buy Kenny brownies because he would kill them for me.
Really?
Because I couldn't deal. I did not want to deal. I could not deal. I did not want to squish them. I did not want to vacuum. Shout out to all the PAs because they would come into the rooms and vacuum all them because holy shit. That they really shouldn't have had to do that. That's it's such a gross job. And that's not have anything to do with production, and they did it. So
now, if you filmed it, it would be
but still, shout out to them forever, eternally grateful for vacuuming up the roaches. But every once in a while, they weren't around, and Kenny was around, and I was like, Kenny, please, and then he would yell at me and just be like, you do it. And I'm like, and I would offer him brownies and treats to be like, please get rid of it. And step on it. I don't want to.
What
do
a nice
it.
Man.
I got so used to them that when I was walking, now that I'm I would be walking home after parking my car, and there would be roaches on the sidewalk because we live in a city and they exist. And Hannah would freak out because there's a cockroach on there. She'd be like, "Ew, God, there's a cockroach!" And I was like, "Oh yeah. Oh wait. Yeah, I should not like that." But I was just like, oh, yeah, it's fine. That's
outside,
normal.
I'll jump, but at least be like, this is where you belong.
Right.
I won't try to kill
outside,
them.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is where you belong. It's fine. I think I'm trying to think. Most people would just start ignoring them. Then I think I'm trying to think of all the techniques people had to pick them up. I think Zach pioneered the using the tape. What you call it? What's the?
Oh, yeah. He tortured them.
What was that?
He just got some tape and.
What's the name of the tape you guys use?
Gaff tape?
Yeah. He would use gaff tape and then he would take it and stick them on it and then fold it on itself.
Oh,
so
it's like mouse. It's like the sticky paper for a mouse.
So you wouldn't have to touch them.
Yeah.
And then use that and then throw them away.
I wonder what happened if you broke that wall down.
They were already dead. It's already the dead ones. It wouldn't be the live ones were just. Ugh.
Yeah, so gross. All right, well, we have some questions, so I'm going to read some questions because we need to get
talk.
Off
I got
of roach
five
talk.
Minutes.
You got okay, five,
five minutes.
5 minutes.
Thank you, five.
Thank you, five. Well, actually, this applies to that. Okay, I'm going to modify this just a little bit. What prominent role in any musical or play or movie or any sort of show do you think you could maybe actually pull off?
Oh, okay.
And how does it compare to the role that you actually – the role that you really want? But don't think necessarily you could pull off.
Wait.
So, what's a role that you think you could pull off?
Yeah.
And then what's a role that you know you couldn't pull off but that you wish you could be in?
You guys are theater kids, so that's easier for you.
What cartoon show?
Cartoon show? That's the thing.
Like, what cartoon? Do you think
I just
want to
make a cartoon. I don't want to, be the cartoon. That's a weird. That's
of course you do.
Not. That's asking, but then it doesn't, it changes it from role to, what superhero do you want to be? You know what I mean?
What cartoon do you think you could draw for, and what cartoon do you wish you could draw for?
Shit.
There you go.
Which one I could draw for? Okay. Oh, I mean.
Which one do you think you get hired right now to draw for?
Hired right now?
And which one do you wish you could get hired to draw for?
The ones I wish I could be hired for are like Steven Universe and Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
Rick and Morty's style is deceivingly simple. It is not. I dabble with that style. I can mimic it really well at this point, but I can't come up with my own design.
Yeah, like if you saw it, you could redraw it, but you wouldn't be able to draw original.
I can't figure out how to like create my own versions of people in that world. Yet,
right.
Because I have to like look at it more. And same with Steven Yeun. Like I've seen like their stuff enough to be like, oh, okay, I could get the gist of this.
Right.
But to make an original character, not yet. But of the two shows, those would be great.
Yeah.
Storyboarding for those shows would be great. But competition is fierce in LA because CalArts is nearby.
CalArts is nearby.
And a lot of people paid a lot of money to go to CalArts, and they're real good.
So I wanted to go to CalArts.
So did I.
Me too. I wanted to go there.
So did I.
And
oh
I didn't get
God.
In. It was the one school I did not get into that I applied to. And I was pissed because I wanted to go there. And looking back on it now, looking at all the stuff, all the film production stuff that they put out, probably shouldn't have gone there anyways.
It felt like a lot of fluff.
But their animation?
Weird. Their animation
their
studio.
Their animation is that's where
incredible.
You go. If you want to be an animator, and God help you if you want to be an animator, but and in the U.S. in particular, because that's the thing.
They
like,
outsource like crazy.
Everything's outsourced nowadays. So like if you really want to be an animator, you have to go to CalArts pretty much. Or I think there's a school in New York as well. And pay that money.
Then you are taught
by like you get lectures from former Disney animators. Like you get like top level guidance. And then essentially you become a storyboard artist here.
Yeah.
And then if you're lucky, you get to make your show. And that's essentially what happened with, like, Steven Universe and, like, Adventure Time. All these things. People started off as storyboard artists, and then they were able to, like, start pitching to Cartoon Network and Nickelodeon and all that stuff.
The cool thing about living in Burbank is that, like, some of the restaurants that people can draw on stuff, and we're right by Cartoon Network and Nickelodeon, so you get these awesome, like, drawings
and
sandwiches.
Yeah, they're so cool.
I have to go soon, so I'm going to answer my question real quick.
Okay, answer your question.
The role that I want to do, that I probably can do maybe one day, I don't know, that'd be awesome. I would like to do Molière's Tartuffe.
Molière,
he does like Commedia dell'arte.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm
so
just
good.
Realizing, like, oh, yeah, I remember I used to love doing that. And so, I think
Tartuffe's
just being like a clowny physical comedy character would be amazing. A role that I'd like to do, but probably could never do because it's, I don't know, dramatic. But I fell in love with that show. Cyrano de Bergerac, the guy with the long nose, and how he could never be loved because he had a long nose, but he was the bravest and strongest of all. And I guess it was at a time when I was like, you know, oh, no one loves me.
Right.
And, you know, but I'm a cool person or something. and so, yeah, ever since I saw that show, the performer who did it at the Alley Theater in Houston, he was just amazing. And I worked on the set as like a side character. I was a cut purse. And so I was able to watch it
What's
from
that?
The background. It was like a thief.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I came in, I stole something. I was like, no, please. And that was it. but it was like for the big theater in Houston.
Right,
you know?
Yeah,
so it was pretty
cool.
Like I got to go on the stage and just seeing that performance like for a whole month.
Yeah.
It's been awesome. Before I go, I want to give a shout out to...
Ooh, we got a shout out coming in.
I'm going to give a shout out to Cuckman.
Oh, yeah. He wanted his name to be said on the thing. And
yeah.
He'll change his name.
He's going to change it. You can change it now. There's been a whole crazy mess in Slack.
Oh, you should go join the Slack.
Join the Slack group. But let me give you an update. People are changing their names over there.
It's getting real confusing.
It's
we don't know who's
confusing.
Who.
It's super confusing. Honestly, I generally don't know who's who. And I'm not going to remember.
People are changing their names back to their normal names. I don't like that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's fine, whatever.
It's not
but
fine.
Like, here's the thing. You are, for me, consider like you're a new person. I don't know you anymore.
Oh, no.
You've just started from scratch with me because my brain can't handle
it. In some cases, that might be a good thing.
Sure.
Like, if you could just change your name and become a whole new person,
that'd be amazing.
That'd be really cool.
I feel like Tom is
from
a good
scratch,
name.
Scratch, whatever your past name is dead and long gone. And
that's what's
so,
happened to
and
me.
That's what you decide to do and change your name. I will not recognize the past self. You're a brand new person to the Slack community.
Uh-oh, I've changed my name, and I'm disappearing.
Oh, no!
I'm fading away in time.
Time.
world.
Goodbye, Louise.
Bye, Louise. Louise, I'm gonna take leaving. Your chair.
All right, well, we're gonna get set
Why
up here
is
for.
His chair is so low.
I know. I think
he's not short. Why is this?
He just likes to. He likes to slack. Weird.
Okay.
I'm just gonna answer my question.
I was like, I'm critiquing Luis's seat and chair and everything. Like, everything's wrong. This isn't comfortable. Bye, Luis.
Bye, Luis. He's gone. Okay, I'm just gonna answer the question and then we'll get things set up for the guys to come in.
Yeah.
Okay, prominent role in any show. I think I could actually play Mark in Rent.
Okay, I've never watched Rent. I'm like the opposite of a theater person, okay. You guys.
So I think I could play that role only because it matches like my voice and when how I feel, and like I feel like I could embody that character. He's a filmmaker, mm-hmm. and he's like just trying to make it, and you know, there's a lot of like thematic and range.
All I know
is
about Rent is the one song. What about minutes?
525,000.
Yeah, I was like, the song about minutes, and I think there's AIDS. That's it. Is that it?
There are lots of AIDS.
Okay, so
almost everybody has AIDS.
Okay, that's it. That's all I know about Rent. I'm like, that minute song and AIDS.
Does that? What's that family? Is you, ooh, you okay? Did you die?
Luis has cords everywhere. Let's blame Luis.
And then a role I wish I could play is literally anything in Hamilton, and I can't.
Oh yeah.
Play well. I could play one character in Hamilton.
Oh, you could. You'd be good at it.
But I don't. But I don't think I could play that because he's.
You can't do the voice.
Well, I just don't think I would be good in that role because I'm not good at, like, the rolling of my R's and those kinds of things. But literally any – and also, I can't rap, so I probably wouldn't be good in Hamilton at all. But I wish I could play somebody in Hamilton because it's such a fucking
I'm trying to
awesome
think of what
show.
Else you could do. I mean, yeah, everything's rap.
No, everything's rap. And also, it's all people of color. And I am not, I am have
you are
no color.
You are definitely not a color.
I lack color.
You are not a color at all. But even that, like, I would hope that one day, like in the far future, that everything's cool. Because then, and if everything's cool, then it doesn't really matter anymore, yeah. And then it could happen. But for now, no, it's not cool.
Right.
You can't do it
right now. Yeah, it kind of undermines the whole idea of the show.
Yeah. They got in trouble for the casting notice for that, too. Did you know that?
No, what?
When they were starting to do their, like, nationwide tour, their casting notice was asking for people of color. And people were like, this is discrimination, blah, 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 da, da, da. And it's just like, it's Hamilton, you guys. It's like, because it's like you're a... They're like, it should be like blind casting, blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, mm-hmm. So they just changed their notice.
Just give them one.
They just changed their notice. Like, yeah, everybody could audition. And they're just going to be like. Sorry. But the thing is, like, on casting, the people who were complaining are people who don't normally see casting notices. Casting notices
are very specific.
And they do not care about your feelings.
No. Not at all.
I remember one going around for like a black music video. This was going around on black Twitter for a little while.
Is that a different site?
It's just a whole different side of Twitter that's the best and it's fun. But for a little while they were talking about how there's a casting notice. I forgot whose music video it was, but it was essentially seeing like colorism in action. They wanted A girl, B girls, C girls, and D girls, and then they described what those would be.
A
girls were like your light skinned, your Beyonce types, you're like, but like lighter than me, still black but lighter than like me,
right?
And I'm pretty red, I'm pretty light, but essentially that, and super skinny, you know.
Yeah, of course.
Then B was like maybe around my skin tone, you know, some curves but not really, you know, like too out there, whatever. Curly hair or straight hair but nothing like kinky, no fros, no none of that. Then C girls who were like, you could be, it just kept getting darker. And as the
literally getting darker.
And then like D, they didn't want to even like D was considered like you're super dark skinned and like all this. And it's just like, it's annoying, but it's a casting notice. And that's
right.
It's one of those things like
casting notices are very specific about what they want.
Yeah, because they're looking for characters.
Right.
And they, again, they don't care about your feelings. They really
don't. I think that in the future, it probably will, like, down far in the future, it will, it'll probably become more.
Well, in the future,
okay,
everybody will be my skin tone anyway.
That's true. It's very true. We'll all be taking over. everybody's just going to be a mix of gray tan.
Gray?
Yeah, I don't know why I imagine it gray. I just imagine everything gray. But I think for now, it's like, guys, there are so many roles in theater and in movies and in film that are written for white males. Maybe let's just give them this for just a Jesus Christ.
We have the one play.
Right.
we have the one.
Color Purple, and we
The Wiz. We can't win any more awards on it. We had the year, you know, and now it's fine.
Yeah. So I wish I could be in that, but I can't. I think I could also.
You can be a dancer.
Off. That's true. I could, but I can't dance that well. So, not like that.
Would you learn to dance to be in Hamilton?
Oh yeah, I would do anything. I would sell my liver.
I'm trying to think. I really want to.
Is this on Broadway though? Are we talking about on Broadway? Or are we talking about like in a touring cast?
Both.
Touring cast.
Fourth option.
No, touring cast. I wouldn't. But on Broadway, I would.
You wouldn't do touring cast to Hamilton?
I would if I didn't have to sell my liver to do it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
I'm just talking about selling my liver.
Oh yeah, no, don't sell your liver.
Or maybe my kidney. That way, I still have one.
That's
I wouldn't
a lot.
Die.
I don't. But I'm not into performing.
I give
performing.
Bone marrow.
I'm not into performing.
I give bone marrow. That.
Oh my
that.
God! I signed up for that. They
did you?
Got
oh
me.
Shit!
So
that's dangerous.
So in the WeWork space, they invited these people to do those. It's like essentially bone marrow matching tests, where you give people your spit, and then on the off chance, and they were like, the odds are super low if you match a person who needs bone marrow because they have a shitty form of cancer. Then you sign up to like help donate a piece of your marrow, and. That's terrifying to me, but at the same time, my brain goes into that. But it's not even that I was a good person. They got me because of karmic guilt. They didn't try to. They were trying to convince me, like, oh, it's a good thing to do. Don't worry. It's not like super invasive. You'd be back. You know, like even if you were picked, the odds are super low. But like it's like you're like essentially out for a day. You're fine. All this stuff.
Wait, and what do they do exactly?
They numb a little part of your hip. And then they take a little bit of your hip bone area, and it's like a sliver. It's like not enough to like do anything, but enough to like
save
someone's
life. Are they going into your bone to grab stuff?
Yeah.
How does
they numb it so you don't feel anything. It's just supposed to be like a pinch. That's what was described to me. And then like it's like you're sore for a day or two, and at most it's like a week of like, oh, that's a bruise.
Right.
And then you're fine. And it's just, and then you possibly save someone's life.
Right.
You know, and it's just
That's what makes it a hard trade-off is like,
and most
it's
of the
a little
time,
bit of pain
yeah,
for you
and
somebody
the,
else's
this
life.
Is their, and most of the time, it's kids that need it and all that stuff. So it's just like,
God,
damn it.
Do it.
And so I was like, fine. And then you're on the list for like, I think, until you're like 60. Like, you're just on there like.
Oh, wow.
Thing.
For good.
Yeah. I mean, you could always, but if you move or whatever, you're supposed to, like, you could always
let
call and be like, yeah. And even on the form, you tell them like your enthusiasm level about it. And I was real honest. I was just like. I'm a probably. I'll probably do this, but I'm not like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
I think they do that if you luckily match with several people, they'll pick the people who are like, yeah, I'm all about it.
Right. The people
maybes.
Who are enthusiastic about it.
Yeah.
Are you a donor? Like, are you, I don't know
I'm
if I asked that.
I'm
or
an organ
donor.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm dead. Go ahead. Yeah. By all means, take everything. I don't care.
Would you give your body to science?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I'm fine with that. My whole deal is once I'm done with science, if you have my ashes, send them off to space. That's all
Hell
I want.
Hell yeah.
Send my,
I want to go to space.
Send my ashes into the stars because I like puns. That's really the reason that
that's amazing.
It's not even like a super like, oh, I want to be in space because returning to stardust, blah, blah, blah. No, my name's Star. Shoot me to space. I think that's funny.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
You'd literally be Star.
Yeah. That's all I want. Why not? You know,
so
like whatever.
I just want to go to space. Would you go to, did we already have this conversation? Would you go to space?
I think we
did.
We had the conversation of space or deep ocean. I think
that's
what it was.
And I want to go to space so bad. I still want to go to space. I've seen so much dangerous stuff about space and I still want to fucking go. I don't care. I want
to
go.
I'm not opposed to space. I kind of want to go to the moon more than I want to go to like space.
Yeah, that would be cool. I feel like.
The moon just seems dope. But then again, that's just me being a nerd going, Sailor Moon. I just want to like I'm here, that's cool.
I wouldn't even mind like going. I want to do the thing with the plane, the zero.
Yeah, Sam
G
did that
thing,
and that was really
Sam
cool.
Did.
I would do that. Yeah.
I would totally do. I want to do that really bad because I just want to like I want to have water and like watch it do its thing where it stays.
I want to float
together.
I just want to float.
Yeah,
be like, oh, that's cool. This is what floating is. Dope. And then I could decide from there if I want to go to space. Because say I don't like it, what if I float
test.
And I'm just I'm like, this is awful. I hate this. And then I go, oh, okay.
And that's what you have to do for what? Like
forever?
20 days or
and
something?
And then you lose
yeah.
all your like muscle, like you atrophy a little bit. because you're not using
your muscles. You're not using your muscles as much.
Yeah, because there's no gravity to like force you to like stand up, so you lose a lot of leg muscle.
Yeah. And I remember that guy Kelly.
Was it
astronaut Kelly? Was that his last name? He came back and he was talking about, it was just recently where like he was one of the people who came back and had to learn how to walk again, or like he had to work on walking again.
I know they put out that video really cool. Where like they forget that things don't just float anymore.
Oh yeah.
They did like a joke. It was a joke video where it's just like showing examples of when you come back, like you'll be holding something
and let go of it.
And you'll just let go of it because you expect it to stay in front of you because it's space and that's how it works. And then it's like, oh, it dropped.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, gravity. Gravity exists.
There was a podcast I was listening to last night, and they were talking about they were doing training, I think. Or no, they were doing a deep sea. They had a deep sea lab.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to speak on the telephone to anybody above land, for some reason, they had a chamber that was full of helium. It was full of oxygen and helium, but it had a lot of helium in it. And that was the only place, I don't know why, it was the only place they could go to that would allow them to talk on the phone. And so there's a call from one of the like deep sea I call them astronauts, they're not, but the deep sea diver people who's staying in the
sea. What would the word be? That's gonna be
not a knot.
I don't think that's right either.
I don't think so.
Oceanaut.
Let's call it that.
Okay.
The oceanaut. And he's calling. He has a phone call with the president, because the president's thanking him for like his service.
Oh no!
And the operator is trying to connect them, and the operator thinks that something's wrong with the phone because his voice is super high, and he's like talking like this, and they're like, I think something's wrong with the connection, we're not going to connect you to the president. He's like, no, this is just how it is, like telling them like, I'm in a helium room. It's hilarious. And the president comes on, and it's just like this full grown man just with tons of helium trying to talk to the president.
And he's trying to probably speak in a lower tone.
He's trying his best to speak in a normal
tone. He's like, I'm trying to talk like this.
He's like, hi, I'm here.
But it was so funny.
Oh, that's great. So embarrassing.
So embarrassing. Okay, they just text me. They're here. They're parking. So I'm going to, we're going to pause this and we'll be back.
We'll be back with more voices.
Woo! Not again. Okay, well, we are back. We actually recorded some stuff before this so we could get right into it. But this is Vistakicks. They are friends of mine and they are amazing.
Woo!
Hello.
Please clap for the guests.
Thanks for having us. Thank you.
Of course. So first of all, I think just kind of give us just a brief overview of like what your guys' sound is and like how you guys formed and, you know, like kind of your backstory as a band.
Who are you?
Oh, and we're missing one member. They're on there. He's going to be here in just a minute.
All right. So
they're all pointing at each other.
Our names are Derek, Sam, Nolan, and Trevor. And I guess we'll share our names, but our band name is Vistakicks. And
how do you get to that name? Because I know that was kind of, you know.
We wanted something with kicks. We used to be a band called, by a different name called Babe.
Oh, and somebody's joining us. Who's here? Is it Sam? Can he get in?
Oh, it's remember the door is all dumb.
You gotta pull and push. Pull and push.
Figure it out.
But Vistakicks was actually, the name itself was pretty random. It was kind of just out of pocket. There wasn't anything really specifically that came up. We were like name dropping for like 2 weeks trying to come up with anything we could.
Yeah, and you start a new thing and you want to name it.
Yeah.
It's impossible to find a name.
Yeah.
And so Vistakicks just got dropped and we were like, oh, that's cool. That sounds good. And Nolan thought it meant, you know, life kicks, and we're like, yeah, that's real. We get a kick out of life, and then the next, like, we were pretty much were set on it for like 3 days, and then someone finally was like, Vista doesn't mean life, it's view, and we're like, oh, but nothing else was called Vistakicks, and we were the, you know, we kind of came up with it, so we went with it anyway.
Yeah,
so
that's
like,
a good ring to it.
You took all the Googles.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
exactly.
Okay, no, cool. Exactly. We can make a website. We can get the Twitter. That's the best way to get a name now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what happened when I, because I had to change my name because there was a very prominent gay porn star that have my name.
No.
And yeah, and so I had to change my name on the internet because people were searching for me and finding that man. And he's, don't get me wrong.
What's
he's
wrong with that?
It's not me. I had 12-year-olds Googling my name and it was not a good situation. So I had to end up changing it, but I changed it to what I changed it to because, I mean, one, because I like it, but also because I have the SEO for it. Like, I literally own it. If somebody types in my name, they go to me and nobody else. And so that was kind of one of, like, the...
That's the Vista Kicks sort
of model.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to have you pull that closer to you.
There you go. Something that's never been called something before is your own thing.
Right. So. Well, I mean, and it also is kind of rare with how prominent things are now. I mean, with how much shit there is on the internet now. Right. It's, like, it's hard to find things that aren't named.
Yeah, already.
One
of my favorite naming conventions is just pick a color and a noun, and then you like it's a quick just way Google if it. You're like I need to come up with a name real quick and just color noun right any noun, and you'll maybe or you do verb noun. Yeah, you guys went with like you have noun verb, and it's I was like yeah that works.
That's fun. So let's go around and introduce everybody just so we have because there's a lot of people. So Derek.
I'm Derek.
I'm Trevor.
I'm Sam.
I'm Nolan.
And what do each of you guys do in the band?
Well, we trade off a little bit. But,
nice, nice.
Prominently, I sing and I play piano.
I play bass. This is Trevor again.
Hi, Trevor.
This is Sam. And I mostly play guitar and I sing as well and a little bit of other stuff.
I'm Nolan. I play drums.
Hell yeah.
I'm a drummer at heart.
Okay, well, how, like, give us kind of the story of how you guys came together, because I know that some of you guys have known each other for longer than...
Yeah, that's a long story.
Yeah, that's okay, that's why we're here.
We grew up in Northern California, and we got together. I mean, we all went to the same elementary schools, middle schools, high schools, and...
Did you guys grow up with Spencer, too? Is that this part of the story?
Well, sort of. Like,
sort of, yeah. We, you know. Derek and I knew each other... you were in your freshman year of
I took a year off of after high school. I took a year off.
That's right, and then that was my sophomore year of college. And I came back home for the summer, and we were in the Tempest together.
Caliban, was the craziest Caliban of all time.
Oh God, it was.
I was Prince Ferdinand.
That was the first time I ever saw Spencer was on stage
half naked on stage.
Yeah, dude, being a gremlin, it was terrifying. I was like, that guy's good, man. That guy's got it.
Yeah, that was a fun show.
We wrote our first song together.
We did.
It was Cheap Chinatown Ho. That was
not a very classy song. Sorry, well, as classy as you can get, I think, with those lyrics. But it was, that was our first song together.
It's a classic.
Shakespeare.
It was Shakespearean
sonnet was the form.
So we kind of knew each other, but then I met these guys through Derek. But you and Sam had a thing for.
So well, actually, it was me, Sam, and Nolan.
Oh yeah, that's right. Okay.
But Nolan joined a week later, and we punished him for the next 2 years by never calling it anything other than what it was. Yeah. It was Thomas and Plecker.
I'm still not over that, by the way.
He's never.
Every rehearsal was at Nolan's house. Nolan's family fed us every night, and we still.
But you joined late.
And what do I get? Nothing. Already made the domains. Already changed the name. Because it was such a cool name, we couldn't change it, right, guys?
Yeah. Anyway, we're Vista Kicks now, which is what's important.
Right.
We have a new record coming out called Booty Shaker's Ball.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Booty Shaker's Ball.
It's so, the artwork is so cool. Oh, I mean, I've also heard the song. The songs are amazing. But I can't talk about that. But actually, I can. The songs are amazing. The songs are great.
You can tell whoever you want that they're amazing.
Please talk about it.
The songs are really great. But the artwork for the album, you just put a thing out in it, and you showed me too. But it's such cool artwork done by a mutual friend of ours. Or, yep. I mean, I knew him through you, but we're now friends.
First record cover, which is Chase
right.
The Waves. His name's Orpheus.
Orpheus
Very
Collar?
Good friend of ours. Yeah. Orpheus
Wait,
Collar.
What's the artwork? Cool what name. Describe it to me. What does it look
Ooh,
like?
It's like a big old scene in like a yeah, he's got
I'll pull it up for you
for the podcast. It's,
yeah, I was like, it's a you need to describe it in an audio form.
Well, first you can at VistaKicks us and see it for yourself.
Well, yeah, that too.
But yeah, aside from that,
but for the poor soul that's like listening to this while they're driving and they can't look it up right away.
So, Star, you describe it since you're the graphic artist.
Holy shit, this is great. Okay, there you go. So
endorsed.
It's a ballroom with like a very stylized disco ball. The band's in the background wearing cool suits. They're all singing. There's like golden ladies dancing, and then the forefront, it's like a jazz club band thing. It's real dope. It's real cool.
Yeah, it's real cool.
It's a lot of purples and gold tones and a lot of reds. And
go check it out. You can at VistaKicks and go check
it looks like
it out.
It's the show poster for October 7th at the Echo.
Oh,
we're
okay.
having an album release party, which is like a really themed party.
The
we're
Echo's a really sweet spot, too.
It's cool, yeah. It's over in Silver Lake.
So if you're in LA.
We actually never played there.
Oh, really?
Really? Awesome. Oh, it's a really, like, the Echo and the Echoplex downstairs. So if you go upstairs. Don't go downstairs.
That's right.
The Echo's a smaller venue, and it's cozy, and it's really nice. Yeah. And I've gone to a few shows there. It's good. It's a good spot, you guys.
We wanted to do something special where we're asking people to dress up formal, just like it shows on the cover. We want it to look and feel like it. What we're trying to
they do,
portray in the cover.
I think they do like a jazz, like, I can't remember what night it is, but they do have a night where they do
like a dapper.
School, yeah,
oh,
and
really?
So people will dress up.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, well, so
we gotta market
jump on that train.
Well, we wanted something for our audience to like get out of their comfort zone and do something they've never done before. And like dress up for a concert, which you probably wouldn't do, and then also like dance when you're out and about with people, which, you know.
Yeah.
Not everybody does, and we want to encourage that.
Yeah.
We try to go to a lot of shows around LA, and it's just hard to get the crowd engaged and sometimes and, you know, really get people to start dancing. So we want to make it as much of an event as possible.
Sure.
For people to really be able to be comfortable and get down and, like, you know, having them dress up nicer is like, oh yeah, this is like
it already puts them out of their comfort
dress
zone.
Dress up to get down.
Yeah. It already puts them out of their comfort zone, so they're a little. I feel like they're a little more like okay with.
They're
being
in a different headspace.
Yeah.
Just wear a nice shirt, like, you guys. Yeah. Wear a nice shirt when you go out.
Wear a tuxedo shirt. Whatever you want to do.
That's my favorite kind of shirt. Is a tuxedo shirt.
Wait. What are you talking about? A tuxedo shirt? You never heard of that?
Get one of those tuxedo shirts for me, yeah. Pick one of those up for me. but yeah, that's so exciting. Well, that's really, really cool. I just got a text message from Steven Septic.
Oh.
You guys don't know Steven, but you should know Steven. If you don't know Steven Septic, go check out Steven Septic.
Okay.
He's fucking hilarious. But he said, so I'm going to tell you guys a story because I have, we do story time here on this podcast.
I was going to say, I'm like, I don't know what is going on.
So he just texted me and said, hey, Spencer, long time, no time, long talk. He didn't get that right. I'm trying to explain to Alyssa the story of your motorcycle gang driving aunt, and I can't remember it. Can you describe it in vivid detail? So I'm going to tell you the story of my great aunt, who she doesn't drive a motorcycle, but she's fucking insane. Okay, so feel free to interject whenever. My great aunt.
Wait, I'm going to interrupt already.
Okay.
Which side of the family is this?
This is on my dad's side.
Okay.
I think she's technically my great aunt, but she might be like, whatever. You know how you say like great aunt, but whatever.
Somewhat related.
So somehow, she might be like a weird cousin.
Yeah, no, I think she's like actually a great, she might be a great great aunt or like a, I don't know, she's something like, but I call her Aunt Shirley. So this woman rides what are called trikes. Do you guys know what trikes are?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they're like the three-wheeled motorcycles.
Yeah.
So she's probably like 80.
Wow.
And she's part of this brotherhood.
Okay.
She's
interesting.
Part of, yeah, it's like a brother. It's like they call it the Brotherhood of the Third Wheel, I think it's called. And it's a trike gang.
That's cool.
Okay. All right.
And
all
right. Okay. So track him with me. So she's telling me she came to visit in the winter, this past winter, and she was telling me all about her adventures as a trike gang member. At like 80 years old.
Define gang member.
She's just part of a group.
My imagination's going nuts right now.
Yeah,
I got old ladies and leather and trikes.
Yeah. She's part of a
dangerous
group.
Dangerous.
I'm also imagining her as like the only old lady of like a really badass, like the image of what you think of a biker gang, like Hell's Angels kind of thing, but they're on trikes. Like,
that's pretty much what it is.
Cigarette.
Really?
I mean, they aren't that hardcore, but they like ride around with
the
bandana over.
Kind of like remove a little bit of the hardcoreness.
Right, they're almost like toddlers.
Any organized
like it's like Hell's is like what is it? Hell's Angels, yeah. But with toddlers. Yeah.
Nice.
No, they drive around with like the bandanas on their face and
well,
all sorts
practical.
Of shit. I know it's practical, but like they look badass.
Does she have a mohawk?
Not yet. I think we're getting there. So she's part of like this gang. It's like a brotherhood.
You don't need to use the air quotes. It's a proper gang.
It's actually a gang. And they ride around on these trikes. Well, she was telling me that she recently had to fire her driver. Which one, I didn't know she had a driver. But two, I was like, why did you have to fire your driver? And she was like, oh, well, he didn't know. We went camping and he didn't know how to make a fire. He didn't know how to pitch a tent. He didn't know how to like do and he didn't know how to prepare
failed
the food.
All the,
like
the tests,
we were like,
all the skills you clearly need as a driver.
First of all, why are you camping with a trike? Second of all, why is your driver required to make all of the fire and food and stuff for you? So she's like going on and on about how she's getting this new trike and all sorts of stuff, and then she's talking about how she has this new driver, and she's and this new driver is very good at doing all of those things and takes great care of her,
mm-hmm.
And they go out to the woods and he
takes care of her.
He does whatever she needs.
Wow.
And I go
smitten.
I go
wait, how old is this driver?
She said he's in his mid-20s.
Really?
Oh. She's
hell
80?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, that's a good job. I want that job.
Hell yeah.
So I had the revelation that she's using driver and escort interchangeably.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the person who's driving for
her.
Okay,
so that was the subtext. I was like, he's
holy
he's
shit.
Bending her over in the woods.
That's what's happening. So like my 80-year-old
great aunt.
You
still want that job, Nolan?
Aunt Shirley.
You shouldn't have.
So my like 80-year-old aunt is out there banging 25-year-olds in the woods.
This
just
is
for
that's
fun.
Goals. I want that to be my old lady future. That sounds amazing.
I think, yeah. I mean,
I can see why the other driver
like,
didn't
just,
work out.
She's
just
doing
being
it right.
80-year-old yeah. and just being like, right. yeah, no, I've just decided I'm going to always hook up with 20-something-year-olds. That's just going to be my life now. That sounds fantastic. Because you don't have to deal with like any like long-term shit. You're like, I'm going to die soon anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just, whatever, fuck it, right?
Fuck it. You're not going to get pregnant. Like, okay, I guess there might still be diseases, but who gives a shit? I'm going to die soon.
Clock's ticking.
Well, and that's why the highest, rate of
STD.
STDs
the highest STD
is in
rate is in the elderly.
Homes.
Yeah.
Well, because what else are they going to do all day?
Yeah, because in the retirement homes, too, the ratio to women to men are ridiculous because dudes die, like, on average, like, 20 years before women do.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
That's
so
why
if you
like,
were a nerd in high school, just wait till you get
you
to retirement
if you
living.
Survive, you will make bank because it's like there's nothing. There's also nothing else to do. So, like, the little old net. My mom used to work at a nursing home, too. So, like, I used to, as I got older, I would
hear
stories.
It physically? Oh, okay.
Just the stories of just like, this old man, like, he's the player of this, like, area of
wow.
the like, nursing home.
Like an 80-year-old player?
Yeah, and he'd have, like, that's a girlfriend on the other floor that they would try to, like, avoid. Like, it would be, like,
man.
A thing.
He's the only guy that can still get it up.
Yeah.
That was also a thing, too. Like, there's issues. Like, yeah, so, But, so I was, like, oh, man, like, being a little lady, that's why also, this is me being practical. If you're a girl, get your financial shit in order. Even if you're the whole, like, I'm married and all that stuff. It's like, they're going to die before you. Odds are.
That's so dark.
Odds are they're going to die before you and you're going to, like.
Sam's going to live forever.
You're still going to live that's alone right. for a little bit. So get your shit together regardless. Don't depend on it. Just say.
That's terrifying. Because
you don't need no man.
It's just, I'm just being practical. Unless, like, I mean, science is going to help you out. Science might bridge that gap and make it not 20 years and make it 10, but still. That's some time.
It's terrifying.
Get some hobbies.
Okay, so I want to just
date 25-year-olds.
Date 25-year-olds forever.
For life.
For life.
That's what I love about 25-year-olds.
They got life.
I keep getting older. They stay
I keep
the
thinking
same
of that. Yeah, it was like that line.
I wanted to kind of touch on for the people that that listen to this are generally people that are like people who are making shit on the internet and doing, you know, trying to get out there and kind of do make their own stuff and be content creators and enjoy, you know, content creators and stuff. And so I just wanted to talk briefly about, like, what's the process like making music in today's day and age, and how do you think it's, like, changed from even 20 years ago? Because I know that it's kind of evolved.
Before you answer that, I have to leave.
You have to leave? Okay.
I'm sorry. I have to go. I have to be on set because this is Los Angeles and this is how it works. So, bye.
Signing off.
I look forward to listening to what you guys say.
Goodbye, Star.
Bye, Star.
Nice to meet you.
They're dropping like flies.
That shirt just is awesome.
Oh, thank you.
Can't forget your name. Yeah.
It has a star on it.
And I just don't have to share the mics anymore.
Oh, yeah, you can jump over and have your own mic.
Scoot over, Trev. Got my
own mic. Scoot yourself over. Well, now we got a full spread here.
Now it's just us.
Now it's just us. It's just you and me, Derek.
Thanks.
So, like, how kind of what, you know, what is that? How is, I know it's changed.
I think, to be fair, we can't speak much on 20 years ago because we don't.
We only hear
from other people.
But I guess, like, traditional, you know, the way, like, where you release albums and you would, you know, release physical albums and, you know. I'm going to have you pull that closer.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, here we are.
Oh, yeah.
You can hear me.
For a guy that sings into a mic, you're awful at speaking into one.
I'm just relaxing so much. Well,
I think that the only thing that, you know, we do know of music 20 years ago is through, you know, history and what's been documented.
Yeah.
But from what we know, the big difference is that record labels and larger corporations would dump a lot more money into the front end of your band. And I'm actually saying more like in the 50s and 60s and
sure, maybe a little
70s,
longer
like
yeah.
expecting like there's gonna be
from
like,
the lore.
Like there's gonna be like one or two records that maybe don't blow up until they're huge. Like Led Zeppelin's first real big record was 4. That was like when they were like ginormous big.
Yeah.
Like when they became like an iconic worldwide known band. But the first one, they were kind of just like a teenage band. The first 3 records, they were just kinda like a teenager, you know, hipster, like, oh, you got to be young and smoking pot to like them.
Right.
So record labels would take that hit knowing that they're not going to make a lot of money off the bat. And nowadays, what hasn't changed is that record labels are still, you know, doing what they do to artists. But they kind of love you and leave you. You know, if you're a flash in the pan, they will, you know, really latch on to you. But if you can't make that second hit or something, from what we've seen and what we've witnessed, you know, bands go up and go down real quick.
Yeah.
The ones that come up by the night usually are gone by the night. And the best ones in today's day and age that we've been able to watch come up and we've observed, you know, they've really built their fan base strategically, organically, and smart.
Yeah.
You know, they've built an impenetrable wall around themselves where it doesn't matter what they do, they have their audience.
Sure, and I feel like that's kind of, you know, that speaks to, like, the way that the YouTube audience kind of works now, or really any content that the internet, like people that are generating content on the internet, like they're building subscriber bases. And that way, even if they get somebody who picks them up, if that person then decides to drop them, it's not the end of the world because they have this built-in fan base of people. And I think that kind of, you know, it's a brave new world of
it really is
content.
It, you know, it's the future, and we exist in a different environment of circumstances than we did
20 years ago in all aspects of media.
Right.
I mean, you look at just a sound recording, to get a sound recording in the 50s or whenever, you know, 20 years ago, the 50s. but to get it, you know, you really had to have like a solid, you know, engineer and all these things. And now they say, you know, everybody's making their music themselves nowadays and anybody can do it, you know. And
yeah,
even just be in the room, you had to be part of the system.
Right.
In order to get the money, to get an engineer, to get the stuff that, you know, used to take up a wall, now takes up, yeah, you know, a small space on your desk.
Right.
You know, so we're in the future in that sense, and the industry doesn't work as well as it did back then because it was made for a different time in media.
Yeah.
And what you have now is platforms in which an artist can talk directly to millions of people, and they'd never had that unless you were paying millions of dollars,
right,
to get what you want said printed and distributed over into stores and in person. But you don't have to have that anymore. You just, it's on your phone.
Right.
It's all connected. Yeah. So that we can,
it's like direct. You know, you're going direct.
It's totally direct. And so you have this like model that still sits over this set of conditions that are sort of different now. And so now it's sort of, a lot of people are wondering, you know, how it's going to survive in a day and age like now.
Yeah.
How are you going to charge for streaming? How are you going to charge for all these things? You know, you have Spotify where you're getting 0.003 cents back per stream. You know, how is, right, the music industry going to exist like that?
Yeah. Yeah. How do you make enough revenue to survive? Yeah. Off
and that's
like
that's the real question. So
yeah,
we've sort of kind of stayed out of the music industry a bit and made music and released it ourselves on platforms. And all of our marketing has been organic and from people sharing it with other people. We've never paid for PR. I mean, we're going to. We're trying to put money into this thing. But so far, we've been able to put our left foot in front of our right and just make the steps that we can with the resources we have available.
Yeah,
just keep reinvesting every inch of it back into the
and focusing on the music.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to ask you too, like what, because I know it's probably different every song, and I know it probably varies for every band. Ooh.
Yeah, that
fuzz.
Oh, fuzz.
Fuzz.
I know it probably varies by band and also by song, but like, what is the process for you guys going into writing a song? Like, who leads? Is there somebody who leads it? Do you guys start with the lyrics? Do you guys start with a?
Whoever's conjuring most of the song leads it. So it's kind of like, you know,
whoever
the song's really dancing around leads it for the most of the composition. But then, you know, somebody will have ideas for arrangement, and it'll sort of the heck gets passed a lot.
So does everybody dabble in lyrics, or do you guys, like, if you're like, will you start with a cool bass, or will you start with lyrics, or does it depend?
It all depends. Like, I remember when we did one of the songs off the record, I was just playing like a bass line, and then Derek had a cool melody, and that's kind of how that one started.
Yeah.
And there are songs where, you know, like Sam will have the guitar part and then we'll end up almost making all the parts to a song and like, and then coming up with like a full demo and we're like, oh, okay, cool. Like, he's like, this is what I'm hearing in my head, you know? And
yeah,
in that sense, I think there's just a bunch of different ways we've gone about it. So I think the important thing for us is just letting it happen naturally and organically. And we've all worked together a lot to like help get each other's ideas out. And like, if someone started the song, it's like, we, like Derek was saying, someone usually like kind of leads, and we help them take that song to where they're trying to get it,
yeah,
you know, where they're trying to hear it. So
yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah. It's taken a lot. I mean,
you guys have written a lot of songs, so
yeah. And it's one of the most like frustrating things to ever really go through is creating something that's so subjective and so egocentric that, you know, and then get it on everybody's opinion where, you know, like it's all opinion based.
Right.
It's all like, what do we want to create here? It's art. So there's no right or wrong answer. And so like, it's navigating through those little, you know, from each stage of, you know, each song, and trying to be true to the song and serve the song, because it's sort of a magical thing that comes out of the air. And
yeah. ends up in your head if you get a melody, and you know what I mean,
right?
Like, if you could write a good song every time you wanted to write a song, you'd do that every time,
right?
You know what I mean? There's a little bit of magic in there,
sure.
And so, like, we all respect that and try to develop each other's ideas and work with each other and
be collaborative.
Yeah, we're here to collaborate.
Yeah,
you know,
that's awesome. Well, what do you guys want to play for us today? What do you think?
I don't know, man.
Because I just wanted to give, it's all good. I just wanted to give,
I don't know.
Whatever you guys want to play, I just wanted to kind of briefly talk about those songs and just what, you know, if you guys want to play one or two, however many you guys want to do. But I just want to kind of briefly touch on those and just kind of where they came from and you know, follow sure. that process. So,
yeah.
What do you think?
What do you guys think? Yeah, I was thinking that one.
Which one?
A really cool new one called Never Gonna Let You Down.
Cool.
Yeah. We've been playing it on tour before we even recorded the record. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
Because it's that good.
No, it's just one we've been really excited about.
Where did
about.
That one come from?
Oh, just another great hot sunny afternoon in Los Angeles of, you know, pounding it out, trying to make a hit.
I remember specifically, though, I think, Derek, you came up with a little Never Let You Down melody, and we're like, yeah. Oh, that's cool. Like, it was one day, he was literally just there with the guitar, and I don't even remember where you were playing. But
one day, I staged this out over months. I would play this part on the guitar, because I don't play guitar much, getting better, but... Guitar. And yeah. I'd go, baby, I don't ever want to let you down. You know, and then, you know, like,
wait.
That's it, you know, and
around, like,
yeah, like, come on, anybody got anything here? And then they'd be like, you know, pretend not to hear it or whichever. And then finally, you know, we're working on it and other parts of the song start to come and Sam brings in that, you'll hear it. It's like, it's going to play it on acoustic guitar, but that part sort of balanced out this like, cool funky chorus and then we were really like I just went and saw Brian Wilson do Pet Sounds at the Hollywood Bowl. It's so, like all awesome. That week I'm like the bridge needs to have colors and you know like I need an army of didgeridoos. I remember the bridge of that song took so long.
Oh, yeah. It's you know, 6 million ways how to skin the cat right. sometimes yeah. when you write a song. Mm-hmm. That's the difficult part about being in a band is, you know, you strive for excellence and we're a democracy. And I think that the strongest bands ever were democracies where everybody had a say. And sometimes somebody goes this and everybody goes, yup. And then that's when it's like, democracy's tight. This is so fucking easy. But then, then you get to the 6 million ways to skin a cat. And then like you play it one way. And then you go, but I think it should go this way. And then the guy's like, well, like, we last played it pretty good. But, like, Nolan was drumming slow. Or, like, Sam was singing sharp. Or, like, you know, like, so we need to, you know, it turns into that. But... It's all ends justify the means.
Yeah.
We played that song, you know, maybe a week straight, just the bridge part. But then we got it. And then once we got it, we're all like,
yeah. Yeah, once you decide, it's you kind of had to work through
it
that.
It took a few weeks to work through that song because we would take it. Like, I remember we had a show at Dirty Laundry in Hollywood.
That's right.
And we were like, we had spent all day on the bridge. And we went to the Dirty Laundry. I remember arguing at Dirty Laundry, like, no, we can't do it this way. We have to do it this way. And it, you know, all the different things. And that's just a funny.
No one cared.
No one, yeah. Like
no one even moved during the song. We're like, does that song suck? I don't know. Let's play it some more.
Yeah.
That's funny. Well, I just wanted to ask you one more thing, and then we'll break into there, because I've heard some stories.
Should get the guitar and
the
bass stuff out.
What do you feel like is the craziest, because you guys went on tour for a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and I've heard some stories, but what do you feel like is the craziest shit that's gone down for you during your time, either touring or in the last like couple of years?
We're pretty tame on tour.
Yeah.
Well, what about things that? What about things that like that happened that you weren't expecting or things?
Sure.
Yeah, things like that.
I mean, a few
drunken nights like anybody else could guess.
But, yeah, there's definitely some stuff we don't remember.
Definitely some stuff you don't remember.
Was there anything that has...
You know what?
Yeah.
Yeah. The first part of our last tour with Save Ferris, the first night, Trevor got sick. He got the stomach flu.
Oh, yeah.
And he threw up mid-stage, like mid-performance. Like
threw up in a bucket in
Santa Barbara. And then we're looking at him like, fucking Trevor, he's always getting sick. You know, like, come on, Trev, get it together. This is the first day of tour. And we got to do this for 2 months in a tiny little Toyota Highlander in a trailer across the country for 2 months, just the four of us, no crew, nothing. And first day, Trevor's sick. Second day, I'm sick. And we're heading over to, well, not second day, but second into third day, we're headed from Vegas to San Diego, and I'm throwing up in front of children in other cars, like families in other cars, and I'm just like, my whole midsection is out of the car,
no.
I'm puking everywhere. I didn't move until moments before we were getting on stage in San Diego.
My God.
And we were just like, we gotta do it, so then did it. Two songs in, I had to take my shirt off because I was sweating so much. But then we started doing that tour.
Taking your shirts off?
Yeah, but the first, you know, one
the
of the
first one
of
was
the
out
first
of necessity.
Times, yeah, necessity. It was like, okay,
I'm going to die if
I'm
going to
pass
this.
Out if yeah. I don't take my shirt off right now.
That's funny.
That would have been cool, too, if you passed out.
Yeah
that would have been
done
super
that.
Rock
that
and roll.
That would have been way cooler, and then we could have stopped.
It. We could have stopped. We could have wheeled you off, and yeah,
it would have been cool.
What are you guys doing over there?
Tuning. Sorry, you can
mute our mic. No, it's all good. All right, we're gonna pause, and then we'll come back, and they're gonna play some songs.
This song is called "Never Gonna Let You Down." We are the Vista Kings.
Baby, I don't ever wanna let you down. Baby, I don't ever wanna let you down. Can't sleep at night, so I turn on my radio. I watch the sun pour into the day. To be right in the light ought to just have something to say. No peace of mind's ever calling my name. Baby, I don't ever wanna let you down. Baby, I don't ever wanna let you down. To think, but I never remember.
Why don't you remember,
D-Man? Never. I hear those words never written down, but the world don't revolve around something that should have been said.
Now, baby, you gotta sing.
My heart is strong enough to surrender. Baby, I don't ever wanna let you down. 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 Girl, I wanna be your lover, more than just a friend. Wouldn't trade you for another, 'cause you're stuck inside my head. And I never,
oh baby, I never, 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 never,
wow! I'm never gonna let you down.
Down.
Chew you up and spit you out. Baby, you should know by now. I'm never gonna let you down. never wanna let you down. Baby, I don't ever wanna let you down. I don't ever want to let you down.
You're letting me down.
Guys, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks.
So, where can they find, if they want to pre-order your album, where can they find you?
Vistakicks.com.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
It's on pre-order. When does it come out?
It comes out in September. That's our...
As much as we can say.
As much as we can say right now.
Awesome.
We spent the last few hours making the final touches on the mix.
Yep, today.
We got 17 songs right now that are recorded and tracked and mixed, 18 recorded, and we're trying to narrow that down and pick an order. And to be genuinely honest, that's where we're at.
Cool, I love it. No, just did the final still in the touches. Process.
It's got to get mastered.
That's to master.
It's going to take a few weeks.
All
and then
about making shit. Boom. Here. That's what this whole thing is about. So,
yeah.
Well, thank you so much for stopping by.
Of course.
And we look forward to hearing the songs when they come out in full on the album. So, guys, if you want to pre-order it, go check them out at Vistakicks.com. Follow them at Vistakicks. And yes, do you guys have individual...
No, just Vistakicks, you know? Consolidate the force.
Don't bother.
Yeah, we're all on Vistakicks, so just, yeah.
Follow there.
Hop cool. on.
All right, well, I'm at Spencer Stark, and we'll see you guys soon. We'll have to have you back when you guys have a new EP or an album or something.
Yeah. Fun.
Thanks for breaking in the space, too. We've never recorded in here, like, a music or anything, so it's cool to
Thanks
hear.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, of course.
Wonderful acoustics.
All right, bye, guys.